Shabbat Shalom. Words just can't express how thrilled we are to be in this beautiful, worshipful, godly congregation.
This is a delight. This is ice cream. This is what makes us all just turn toward the Lord with such unity. Amen. You know, I just felt that all through here. It was a joy to be here. Amen. Praise
God. Just a real quick introduction would be to tell you that Steve and Shirley Reese first told us about y'all. Did I say that right? We're from Colorado, so we don't y'all too much, but I'm learning. They told us there is a place where both spirit and truth are in balance, where people worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and we have been on long, long journey of ministry ourselves and pastoring and leading worship and many things, but looking for a place of spirit and truth. And so how awesome that it is here. Also, Tammy and I met at an MIA conference in 2010. Really? Way back there? Wow. Awesome. So, and I remembered you as soon as I saw you, and then I realized, wow, that's 2010. So that's the year that, and also the conference where John and I met. We met at that conference. We got married 7 months later, and so this month we're celebrating our 7th wedding anniversary. So I'm going to have him bless and release me to teach.
She's a much better teacher than I am. May the Lord bless you, keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace in Yeshua's name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You want to take it back? No, this. Thank you. So we left Colorado on Monday afternoon, and we left in our 2002 Yukon Denali that had 215,000 miles on it, and said, Lord, we know that you're going to still keep this baby running. But like you said a little bit ago, sometimes he does things differently than we expect. Always, it turns out for his glory. We broke down completely in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. She gave a great big heave from the transfer case, a huge pop in the rear end, and she breathed her last. And so God is so awesome. He's so gracious. It's a whole long story I shared with Pam and Arnold that I won't take time to tell you now, but he blessed us in so many ways, even after that terrible, unexpected breakdown. A transfer case was going to cost about 3 times what that old vehicle was worth. I'm not a very good mathematician, but I knew that didn't make much sense. So we got into one of the other 3 cars on the car lot where they towed us that we were able to get into. And here we are in Lucedale, right on time. He has given me a specific word for the River of Life congregation. I've been teaching, as Tammy points out, for many, many years. I've been teaching in churches and congregations, and so I have a number of different words that he has given me over the years. But just recently, he gave me this one from Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 2. And when I asked him what specifically he wanted to speak to the River of Life congregation, he was very quick to say that this is what he wants me to bring, and he's been adding to it all the way out here with specific things for you. I hope you are blessed today. I hope you are edified by the word, all of the word of God that's going to come forth today. My authority is the Ruach HaKodesh and Yeshua HaMashiach, that is by whose authority I teach, and the blessing of my husband. I'm going to ask you a few questions as I start out here, and I have to get used to this fancy little thing you have for changing slides. I hope I remember to do that. So, there we go. The glory of Jehovah or Yahweh is risen upon you. I'm going to be using a few excerpts, as this says, from Francis Frangipane's book, The Days of His Presence. Just a few excerpts within this presentation. So I want to ask you a few questions. Have you been praying in this congregation for his presence and his glory to manifest in your gatherings? I know you have, because I already experienced it. Have you cried out to him for more of his Ruach, more of his power? Have you wondered at times, have you honestly wondered, why did Yeshua tell us, greater things than I have done will you do, and it doesn't seem like we've quite gotten there? It's coming. He sent me here to tell you that time is coming, and it's coming very, very soon. You're just about to enter into it. That time of greater things even than Yeshua. Who are the sons of God spoken of in Romans chapter 8? Isn't it time for us to begin to see signs that we are arising as those sons and daughters? All creation is groaning for the revealing of the sons and daughters of God, right? That's us, brothers and sisters, that's us. But if you are like me, I have had a lot of times in the last 3 years especially, John and I have gone through 3 years of great trials, great tribulation, health-wise, betrayals, and things that have happened to us that we didn't expect, and I'm not the only one in this room that's maybe had a tough 3 or 4 years. I believe it's been a season of testing. I believe it's even been a season of silence at times, where we've cried out to the Lord and we beg to hear him. We beg for direction, guidance. Tell me, Lord, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. I'll go. Silence. Right? So we travail, we pray, we seek him, but I have this great anticipation stirring in my spirit. I hope you can see it on my face. I hope you can hear it in my voice. There is this anticipation stirring in my spirit that in these days, just before the return of our Messiah, I believe Scripture fully supports that we are going to experience an ever-increasing awareness of Yeshua's presence with us. Amen? The time of his presence is not something that doesn't take place until his second coming. It precedes his second coming. It precedes, and I'm going to prove it to you in Scripture today. It precedes it in order to prepare us for his return, for those dark days that are going to be all around about us, that already are, that are going to get darker. We know that. We need to be prepared for that. How will we be prepared? By this outpouring that he is getting ready to bring to those who are open, whose hearts are open to receive it. So this glory to glory increase will occur simultaneous to the earth's birth pangs and the unfolding darkness of the end time. Simultaneous is the word I want you to get out of this message. This is not, everything's just going to be dark and horrible and terrible and depressing, and then he's going to appear. The glory of God risen upon us occurs while thick, gross darkness is on the people, and we shine like stars in the universe, Daniel says, right? The word tells us that the Lord's power will increasingly manifest as we are increasingly conformed to his likeness. Now that's the key. And even especially for you young people, what a blessing to see all these young people and children here. I mean, I've had to go back there twice and get all my makeup off of my face to wipe off the tears, because I'm so blessed by all your children and young people, and that you are raising them in the book, and that they are a generation that is going to grow up to be operating in this power. Amen. Amen? Because the key is conforming to the likeness of Yeshua. So it is in and through the ones who seek to live according to Torah, which is the standard of his kingdom, that his presence shall emerge the most powerfully. So let's start by talking about the glory radiating from those who are experiencing Yeshua's presence. Didn't Moshe's face radiate with glory after he was with the Lord? Paul tells us then in 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 18, he tells us that an even greater glory will be ours. So I want to share this scripture with you as the first one today, because it's very key to our understanding about what we are about to experience, what y'all are already experiencing in this awesome place of God. All right. 2 Corinthians 3, 7 through 18. Now, if that which worked death by means of a written text engraved on stone tablets came with glory, such glory that the people of Israel could not stand to look at Moshe's face because of its brightness, even though that brightness was already fading away, won't the working of the Spirit be accompanied by an even greater glory? For if there was glory in what worked to declare people guilty, how much more must the glory abound in what works to declare people innocent? Amen? In fact, by comparison with this greater glory, what was made glorious before has no glory now. For if there was glory in what faded away, how much more glory must there be in what lasts? Moshe had a glory that could fade in his day. We have a glory that will last. It is eternal. Therefore, with a hope like this, we are very open, unlike Moshe, who put a veil over his face so that the people of Israel would not see the fading brightness come to an end. And what is more, their minds were made stone-like, for to this day the same veil remains over them when they read the Old Covenant. It has not been unveiled, because only by the Messiah is the veil taken away. Only by the Mashiach Yeshua is the veil taken away. Yes, till today, whenever Moshe is read, a veil still lies over their heart. But, says the Torah, whenever someone turns to Adonai, the veil is taken away. When someone accepts Yeshua, amen, the veil is removed. Now, Adonai in this text means the Spirit, and where the Spirit of Adonai is, there is freedom. Freedom! So all of us with faces unveiled see as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we are being changed into his very image from one degree of glory to the next by Adonai, the Spirit. So John and I were in Israel for the feast days this past fall. So blessed to be there. The Lord, it was my sixth trip and John's third. The Lord directed us to go, and the Holy Spirit was our tour guide. And he took us to 8 portals, and he used that word. That was his word. I'm taking you to 8 prayer portals where I will meet with you in the land and ask you to pray through the things that are on my heart. It was an incredible journey. On Yom Kippur, we were in Haifa, and our assignment was the Beit Yadida guest house, where a little messianic congregation was going to be meeting and keeping the day of Yom Kippur together. And I'm here, standing here to tell you, my friends, this congregation did not spend the day beating their breasts and reading the liturgy and daubing and doing all the things that were being done in the synagogues around them. This congregation read this passage that I'm just read to you on Yom Kippur. And the young pastor who was so excited about Yeshua, I thought he was just going to burst. And there were quite a few Jewish people there who had been invited, who were not yet believers, and who had been invited to come to this Yom Kippur service. And they read this passage and heard this passage probably for the first time, that even today a veil remains over them when they read the Old Covenant. Because only by Mashiach is the veil taken away. Hallelujah. And I saw the tears on their faces. And when we finished worshiping with the young pastor and his guitar, I saw the joy on their faces. And I knew that some were saved that day. And I can tell, the message I wanted to give to you about this is that things are changing in Israel. Things are changing. People were coming up to us, asking us questions that opened up discussion, that opened up the opportunity to share Yeshua in the land. Carefully, gently, lovingly, quietly, whenever someone came to us because they had questions. Things are changing. The veil is being lifted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So I believe that what we Torah keepers need to grab hold of in this very time is the belief by faith that we, too, are being changed into the image of Messiah from one degree of glory to the next. And that is not a former glory that has passed away. It is an eternal glory that he is working within us by the power of the Ruach day by day, day by day. As we talked with Pam and Arnold last night, how is that happening? How is he working this in us, being conformed to his image by these really tough things we're going through? That's how. That's how. Death to self. And then being recreated in his image. Amen? So if we believe it, then we're going to start asking the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, to examine us and reveal those things that we know must change from our fleshly image to his supernatural glory. He wants to give us this glory, my friends. He desires to give it to us, this power, this outpouring that I'm talking about. But this is our part in it. Our part in it is to ask him to look deep inside and reveal to us what must go, what has to stop, what rebellion is still there. Ask him the questions. What is the place, Lord, of rebellion that I keep holding on to and I don't realize it? Show it to me. What part of my heart is hard so that it's keeping a veil over me and I'm not radiating your glory to other people? What am I resenting? What is that bitter root that needs to be pulled out? What is the unforgiveness? Look deep. Look deep. Who do I still need to forgive? Because if there's someone, anyone from my past whose offenses I have not forgiven, that glory can't come through. It's blocked. It's blocked. Ephesians 5:27 tells us that the Messiah is wanting to present the messianic community to himself as a bride to be proud of, without a spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but holy and without defect. So let us begin this process right here, right now, today, with this key scripture that I brought to you, found in Isaiah 60, 1 through 2, and I am asking you to please read it together with me. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen above you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, deep darkness the peoples, but Yahweh will rise upon you. Amen. He will. He will rise upon you. It's a matter of your getting ready. We need to be mindful that end time events are coming upon us. We can all see that, we who are in the Word. And it's not a bad thing to watch the news. I believe it's a good thing because we're trying to line up where we are in Scripture and understand what the prophecies of God say and how they are being fulfilled even in our time. But we must not become fearful, okay? Too much focus on the darkness can be a distraction from what God is doing, see? And we don't want to be distracted. We want to be focused. So let's not become so absorbed with the movement of fleeing shadows that we miss the awe of the one who is dawning upon us. Hallelujah. So when we think about our nation right now, the United States of America, we could get depressed easily. We look around us, we listen to the news, and then we find out there are things going on that we didn't even really realize were going on. Really, until our current president began this war that he's waging right now, even now, against sex trafficking and human trafficking, child trafficking. I don't know if you know this, but he is behind the scenes waging a great war against this evil, bringing down and arresting these people. It is so awesome, this time that we're living in, and how we're seeing God bring things out of the darkness and into the light and exposing the darkness. Hallelujah. But we see Satanism in our schools. We see violence. We see abortion. We see pornography, even all over the church. We see the breakdown of marriage and family. We see all of these things happening in the dark realm. The darkness that covers the people, okay, is all those things that I just spoke about. And we have to decide how we're going to deal with these wicked things that have invaded our culture and the lives all around us. So, you know, in this messianic movement, there were, for a while anyway, there was a time where everybody said, well, we need to move to Ecuador. You can buy a plot of land there and grow a garden, and it'll all be good. We just need to go to Ecuador. And then people told us, no, it's Panama. Go down to Panama. There's a big messianic congregation down there, and you need get out of the United States. Go to Belize. It's cheap, and you can live right there on the island. The thing is, when I looked into God's Word about this subject, it said, and these things that are coming will come upon the whole earth. It didn't say, except for Ecuador or Panama. They're coming on the whole earth. So where do we need to be? In the shadow of El Shaddai. That's where we need to be. All right, let's read Ephesians 5, 8 through 13. For you used to be darkness, but now, united with the Lord, you are light. Live like children of light, for the fruit of light is in every kind of goodness, rightness, and truth. Try to determine what will please the Lord. Have nothing to do with the deeds produced by darkness, but instead, do what? Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things these people do in secret. But everything exposed to the light is revealed clearly for what it is, since anything revealed is a light. So this is why it says, get up, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Messiah will shine on you. There's a lot of sleepers in this nation. There's a lot of sleepers in the church. There's a lot of sleepers in our movement. There's a lot of sleepers, period, because it's just a whole lot easier not to have to deal with all of these things that we see going on around us. Whole lot easier. That's not what the Lord says. He says, expose these things and bring them into the light. The same thing we're supposed to do with the sin in our own hearts. Confess it one to another and to the Lord. Confess our sin. That brings it into the light. And once sin is into the light, the devil can't put a hold over you anymore. You're free from that. It's in the light. Everybody in here knows what I did. So how can anybody hold that over me anymore? They can't. That's a part of the darkness in our own lives, I believe, is those unconfessed things that we're still trying to hide. He says, arise from the dead, expose those things, bring them into the light, confess them, have nothing more to do with the deeds produced by darkness. What did Messiah say to the woman that committed adultery? Go your way and sin no more. Which is the same thing as get up, sleeper, and arise from the dead and go your way and go in the newness of life in light. If you're keeping watch today, like I know many of you are, keeping watch over what's happening in this nation and around the world and lining it up with prophecy, you know that God is exposing a great darkness in our government and bringing it into the light. But sometimes I think that what happens with us on our regular daily basis is we pray for someone and they don't get fully healed. Or we pray for people's needs and we don't see it happen right away. And sometimes I think that we get discouraged and we feel like, well, I only have just enough grace to get them better for today. But tomorrow, I don't know. That doubt creeps in, that discouragement creeps in, that whatever is in your history where you prayed and prayed and prayed with all of your heart, and God said no, for whatever reason that he has, and then you begin to doubt. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. As Pastor Mark says, he's on the throne, he's sovereign. And everything he does is according to his perfect pattern, that he will be glorified and that it will be good for you and the person you prayed for. Ultimately, it will all be good. All be good. The promise of the Father to the Son, which shall be fulfilled on the highest level prior to his return, is in Psalm 110, verse 3. It says, your people shall be volunteers in the day of power. So, is there anybody in this room today that's ready to enlist as a volunteer in the day of power? I am. Hineni, pick me, Lord. I want to volunteer for you in your day of power, because let's go on and look at what this says. There is a day of power coming. We have not seen it in its fullness yet. We all agree about that. But in this time of power, it's going to be accompanied by a glorious holiness, a radiance that will appear on God's people. It says, your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. He's going to re-energize us. He's going to fill us with energy. You know, if you're my age, and I have children and great-grandchildren, okay? If you're my age, it's like, and you read that if you enlist in the day of power, it's going to be the day of my youth? Yes! Yes! That means I'm going to be able to go forward and do things that Yeshua said I would do, and it will be in with energy, with the energy of my youth. How old was Moshe? He was way up there. Oh, yeah, right, 80-something, right? And Aaron and, you know, so many of them started their ministries in what we feel like is like the end of life. They were energized. They were filled with God's power and glory. So shall you be. Great power from Yahweh shall rest upon those who are choosing now to do what? Humble themselves. That's the rest, the other part of the key, brothers and sisters, it's humility. Without self-promotion or self-aggrandizement, the presence of God will once again begin to arise on his people. So my personal testimony about this, back probably when I first met you, Tammy, back in the earlier days of MIA conferences, The Lord was pouring out songs on me, pouring them out like a downpour. I was writing song after song after song, and so I began recording CDs of the music he was giving to me. And then he started pouring on me the gift of teaching, just the anointing that someone needs that falls on you, that it enables you to really understand and put scripture together and connect dots of scripture and bring them so people can have this roadmap to follow. He started giving me that anointing, and it was just all so amazing. So then I started teaching on a radio station in Israel, and they carried my teachings for 3 years in Israel, which also went around the world on the internet. Now I have a radio show on Hebrew Nation Radio called The Doorkeeper Hour, which would come on here at 6 p.m. on Shabbat. That's kind of a hard time, but you can find the podcast later. And so all this stuff was like happening in my life that God was giving to me and blessing me with. But there's hundreds of CDs in my basement. And there's hundreds of MP3 teachings on my website. And my show goes out, and I don't know if anybody listens. I never hear from anybody. I don't know if anybody's out there. You know what? It doesn't matter. I'm scattering the seed, right? And he will water, and he will bring the increase. And I just have to trust him. And because I refuse to market, to merchandise. I refuse. I've had pastors that I have served under that have come to me and said, I've got a connection for you to get your messianic music out there and get it on the radio stations, and then you're going to put this church on the map. I fled. I packed my bags and fled. I left that town. Like Joseph, I fled. I don't want that, because I know that those who will receive his power and his glory and be of use to him are those who stay in the shadow of El Shaddai. Humble. We know there's times in scripture when human beings like you and me saw the glory of God. Isaiah beheld him on the throne. Ezekiel fell before him at the river Chebar. Daniel, David, Habakkuk, Solomon, Zechariah, Haggai all saw the glory of the Lord with their own eyes. And they're just humans. Shall it not be so for us too? Let's look at Exodus 24, 9 through 11. It says, then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate and drank. When human beings are allowed to experience the presence of the living God and not die, who are they seeing? Yeshua. I believe that's who they ate and drank with. I believe that's who Abraham had lunch with. I believe that's who Hagar talked with in the wilderness. Whenever he wants to interact with his humanity, God sends Yeshua to interact. Okay? But they saw his glory. They saw Yeshua's glory, and they ate and drank with him. Young men, old women, little children, people of all ages, and every physical condition, all saw the glory of the Lord as it rested upon Mount Sinai, Exodus 24, 16 to 18. It says, now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moshe out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of Yahweh was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. So Moshe went into the midst of the cloud and went up into the mountain. Wow. He went right into the midst of the cloud and up onto the mountain. He was not afraid. I think he was almost, maybe he was running toward it. And he was like, I'm going in. And yet that unveiling of glory did not stop at Sinai. The entire Hebrew nation followed a cloud of glory by day and were illuminated by a pillar of fire at night, right? And so this happened not just once or twice, but every day for 40 years. So how much more shall the glory of the Lord manifest to us at the end of the age? Because we know in Ecclesiastes it tells us what he's done before, he's going to do again. We study the past to know the future, right? So I love this scripture. This scripture gets me so excited in my spirit, and I pray through this scripture to be one of the ones who will experience Isaiah 4, 3 through 6. In that day, the branch of Jehovah, of the Lord, and who is the branch? Okay. Hallelujah. Shall be beautiful and glorious. And the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. Now, first of all, it starts with the phrase, in that day. Everybody realizes that that's the day, right, of his return. That's the time frame of his return, the end time. And in this end time, the branch, Yeshua, will be beautiful and glorious, the fruit of the earth, excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Yerushalayim will be called holy, everyone who is recorded among the living in Yerushalayim. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Yerushalayim from her midst by the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies what? A cloud and smoke by day and the shining of flaming fire by night. He's going to do it again. For over all the glory, there will be a covering, and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge, and for shelter from storm and rain. Oh, Father, please allow me to experience this as a part of Israel. Those in the Tanakh saw his glory from a distance, but in our day, Yeshua chooses to reveal his glory in and through us. Amen. But between the radiance of heaven and the horrors of hell is the choice that people in the end time are going to be forced to make. Let's look for a second at John 17, 22. This is part of Yeshua's high priestly prayer. And he prays, "The glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one." That's us, and that's his promise. So if you ever wondered, where is this promise that Kelly Ferrari Mills has been up here preaching about? This is it. Yeshua prays to the Father and says, "The same glory that you gave me, the Son of God, I've given them so that they can be all one in unity in us and we in them." Such unity. God is going to give the unsaved world one last legitimate opportunity to choose. Not just between the church and sin, but between the radiance of heaven, as I said, and the horrors of hell. And at the end of the age, the word makes it clear that both of these realms are going to be manifested at the same time. The same time. God isn't going to give us a baby version of the Holy Spirit. He says he's going to give us the very same spirit that raised Yeshua from the dead. Hallelujah. That same power. Hallelujah. We truly are a generation of people chosen as a first fruits for deliverance. As God leads us into holiness and spirit and truth. And like I said, he's looking for that balance of both. We can step over into just the holiness camp, just the holy roller camp. And praise and worship and hallelujah, and then go out and rob a bank and commit adultery. Or we can go over here and put on our tallits and read the liturgy and do the daubing and do all of this, you know, and never know the Lord. The balance of spirit and truth, like I see in the River of Life Tabernacle. Hallelujah. There's going to be a time when that choice has to be made, and I liken it to the time right before Noah and his family got on the ark. He and his family were this first fruits for deliverance from the wrath. There's going to be another first fruits, which is going to be way bigger than Noah's family. Praise God. But it's going to look a lot the same. Deliverance from wrath. Please don't think I'm talking about a get out of here free ticket on the rapture bus before anything bad happens. I didn't say that. I said deliverance from the wrath of God. Hallelujah. The word of God commands those at the end of the age to be fearless in the face of darkness. And speaking through the prophet Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord orders us. Okay, so this is in 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. And it says, but we have to keep thanking God for you always, brothers, whom the Lord loves, because God chose you as first fruits for deliverance by giving you the holiness that has its origin in the Spirit and the faithfulness that has its origin in the truth, Spirit and truth. He called you to this through our good news. Why? So that you could have the glory of the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let's read it together again one more time, if I can get it there. It's not working. Oh, that's funny. What do I do when it's not working? When I tap on it. Oh, that's right. Temporarily lost that. Okay. Read with me again. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and behold, darkness the peoples, but Yahweh will rise upon you. So again, I want you to hear that my message to you, River of Life Tabernacle, is that Isaiah chapter 60 may conclude in the millennium, but it doesn't begin during the millennium. It begins in a time when darkness is still covering the earth and deep darkness the people, a time very much like what we are entering into right now. It points to time during the days, last years or days of this age. And at that point in time, when Satan seeks to wear down the saints, man, oh man, has he been seeking to do that? And keeping us held down by depression and discouragement, Yahweh commands Israel to arise. He tells us to throw off oppression, not just as an act of faith, but an act of obedience. Here's how Francis Frangipane put it. Y'all listening to me? Here's how he put it. Cancel your plans to be miserable. Amen? Some of you had plans to be miserable and you didn't even realize it. You didn't even really know you were thinking like that. But maybe you were. Sometimes maybe I am. Today I think I'm just going to be miserable. Could have done that day in Broken Arrow, couldn't we, John? The place of the broken car in Broken Arrow. And instead, we went to a hotel room that night. I have to tell it, right, Pam? We went to looking for a hotel because it was so late. We knew we were a day behind getting to Loosedale, so we had to find a hotel. But we don't have lots of hotel money, and we were hoping maybe we could find one that had a hot tub to take care of some bad muscles that both of us from all this driving. And so we finally just ended up driving into this parking lot of this hotel that didn't have a fancy name like La Quinta or Marriott, or we passed those and came to this hotel and drove into the parking lot and went inside, and the desk clerk is Benjamin. And he says, welcome to the Stony Creek Conference Center. We said, oh, Conference Center. Well, do you have any hotel rooms? Oh, certainly. He said, would you like a king standard? And we said, sure, I guess, but how much is it? He said, well, if you have AAA or AARP, it's $80. And we went, $80? Like, that was less than the Super 8, right? $80. He said, sure, yeah, with AAA, it'd be $80. We said, okay, well, thanks. And we said, do you happen to have a hot tub in the hotel? And he said, yeah, we do. He says, it's open until about 11. And we said, oh, that's great. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you. So he checked us in. He handed me the key and practically whispered to me and said, I gave you an upgrade. I hope you enjoy it. We said, thank you. We went up to the third floor. We opened the door. And we walked into this room that was literally a hotel room about the size of this stage. Well, bigger than that, a little bigger than that, because it was longer than that. It was about from there to where you're sitting, and almost this long, with a huge king bed and its own huge hot tub in the room. And what happened to me was, I fell down on my knees and cried. I wept because Abba is so good to his kids. He's so good to his kids. You know, the enemy tried to keep us from getting here, and I always know that when something that big happens, it means I was really supposed to get here. All right, so through the blood of Yeshua, we break our covenant with death and darkness. We break it. We break our plans to be miserable. We break any assignment coming against us. And I say that to all of you. And some people say to me, well, you don't know the difficulties in my life. And I would say to them this scripture that's written in the Amplified Version. Arise from the depression in which circumstances have kept you. Arise to a new life. Amen. It's your circumstances that the enemy tries to engineer to cause your truck to break down on the way to Mississippi, and you can't afford the transfer case, so now you got to figure out how to get into another vehicle. Arise. He's going to take care of it. He's got this. He's got this. Circumstances can't keep you there. Right at this moment, as the Spirit imparts this revelation to each one of you, you are called to receive it and then to obey it. So what's our part in this? Even now, God is gathering and restoring his people Israel, and we are a part of that. Hallelujah. And we are learning to humble ourselves in repentance and spend more time with him in prayer. So I want to share with you a word. It came through someone, I don't know, do any of you know the name Glenda Lomax? She writes a little prophetic word, and as she hears it from the Lord, two or three times a week, very short. This one was dated November 10th, 2013. I wrote it in my journal, and I try to look back at it often. Yes, my children, this is written as of the Lord speaking to you. Yes, my children, I am calling you to a more intense time of prayer and worship, for I must prepare you for what is coming into each of your lives. Now is a time of great preparation in my people. The importance of this time cannot be underestimated, for each of you has a role to fulfill, an important call in my kingdom purposes worldwide. As you spend more time in prayer to me, I will be not only receiving your prayers into heaven, but answering them. I have surprises in store for you who commit more time to me. I have rewards for your much obedience, for I know the demands that life has put on you. I know the loads you carry. I desire to lighten those loads. Come to me, my children. Lift the ones you love up to me in prayer, and all that concerns you, I will answer. You know that I am not a man that I should lie. Obey me in this and reap the rewards. Worship me, your king, for I am mighty in you, and I will shower your lives with blessing. These are encouraging words we all need from the Lord, because we are standing right at the threshold of this outpouring of God's glory. And His glory and His priority in the next season is going to be that a great harvest be reaped for His kingdom. And this coming harvest will be the result of Yeshua's presence through us, through us. It will not be our programs or our methods or our knowledge or our telling everybody else how much more we know than they do. It will be the glory of the Lord moving through us. Hebrews 1:3 says, Hebrews 1:3. The Son is the radiance of the Shekinah, the very expression of God's essence, upholding all that exists by His powerful word. Hallelujah. So in studying God's word and obeying His commands, we come to know God's heart. You know, when I first came into this walk, so many people were saying to me, oh, you know, I don't need to do all that stuff you're doing, keep the feasts and keep the law and all that stuff you're doing, because God knows my heart. Ever heard that one before? Here's the response. But do you know His heart? Do you? They'll really look at you for a while after you say that. 1 Corinthians 12, are you all hanging in with me? Am I okay? All right, 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. Moreover, to each person is given the particular manifestation of the Spirit that will be for the common good. To one through the Spirit is given a word of wisdom, to another a word of knowledge in accordance with the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to judge between spirits. To another, the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues. And to yet another, the ability to interpret tongues. One and the same Spirit is at work in all these things, distributing to each person as He chooses, which makes certain that we have no right to feel like, well, she got a better gift than I did, right? You can't go there. We can't do the compare thing. God chooses how He wants to distribute His gifts, and the body brings the gifts together, and it's glorious, glorious. So if you've been discouraged or despairing that you've been left out of some of the gifts that you see around you, I want you to know that there's a passage in Joel, chapter 3, that says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. You're not going to be left out when that great outpouring comes. Nobody is. Old men, young women, little children, everybody. All right? And I personally feel that this season that we're in right now, as I said, is one of being tested and tried and purified in the refiner's fire. Humbled, submitted, learning to be submitted to the sovereign God. Remember how I talked earlier about the children of God? Romans 8, 18 to 21. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. That's us. And the whole creation is waiting for us to be revealed in the fullness of God's glory. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. So Paul's prayer over the Ephesians is the ultimate will of God over His children today, and it is a revelation of the transformation that each one of us in this room needs to undergo by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:15 through 19, for this reason, ever since I heard about your trust in the Lord Yeshua and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you. In my prayers, I keep asking the God of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, the glorious Father, to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you will have full knowledge of him. And I pray that he will give light to the eyes of your hearts so that you will have, so that you will understand the hope to which he has called you, what rich glories there are in the inheritance he has promised his people, and how surpassingly great is his power working in us who trust him. Do you trust him with all of your mind and your heart and your spirit? Or is it easier to just stay in the relative safety of the world that you know? Can you handle the light that will open the eyes of your heart to see him as he really is? So I promised you that there's a little short excerpt in here from this book by Francis Frangipane, and I want to share it with you. And I want you to receive it in your spirit, man. Receive it as I read this to you. The year was 1973. I was pastoring a small church in Hilo, Hawaii, and had been in a month of intense prayer and extended fasting. It was an earnest time of drawing near to God, and at the end of this period, I found myself awakened during the night by a visitation of the Lord. It was not as though I saw his physical features, or even that he was close, he was distant. Nevertheless, let me take you back there. I was completely overwhelmed by the outraying of his presence. The outraying of his presence. Instantly, I was like a dead man, unable to move so much as a finger. Spiritually, however, the spiritual heavens were opened and unveiled before me, and my state of awareness was heightened beyond anything I've ever known, even now these many years later. In the fire of his presence, I felt like one of the living creatures in the book of Revelation, as though I possessed eyes around and within. With my inner eyes, I discovered the truth about my righteousness. Now remember, I'd been feeling close to the Lord. As a man who was seeking God with fasting, I considered my spiritual condition to be good, and yet suddenly I became aware of my true human condition. The flaws in my life became unbearably vivid and utterly sinful. I saw my iniquity not as something I occasionally committed, but as something I perpetually was. I became instantly aware of the many times I could have been more loving or kind or sensitive, but I hardened my heart instead. I saw how instinctively selfish nearly all of my thoughts and actions were, and yet all that was resident within me of unrighteousness, still I felt no rebuke from the Lord, nor did I feel any condemnation. No voice came down from heaven to convict me of my wrongs. The only voice condemning me was my own. In the light of his presence, I abhorred myself. As in Job 42, verse 6, I had heard about you with my ears, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I detest myself and repent in dust and ashes. We see something similar in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw Adonai sitting on a high, lofty throne, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim stood over him, each with six wings, two for covering his face and two for covering his feet and two for flying, crying out to each other, "More holy than the holiest holiness is Adonai Tzevaot. The whole earth is filled with his glory." The doorpost shook at the sound of their shouting, and the house was filled with smoke. And then I said, "Woe to me. I too am doomed, because I am a man with unclean lips, living among a people with unclean lips. And I have seen with my own eyes the King, Adonai Tzevaot." So one of the seraphim flew to me with a glowing coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Here, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is gone, your sin atoned for." So Francis Frangipane's vision continued. Without any buffer of self-justification or deceit, with no other person but God to whom to compare myself, I saw how far short of his glory I truly was. And I knew why mankind needed the atoning blood of God's Son, Yeshua. And I knew that no amount of personal attainment in and of itself could ever make me like him. In the most profound way, I understood that only Messiah could live like Messiah. So then God's plan must not be to improve me, but to remove me, so that the Lord Yeshua could live his life through me. Not to improve me, but to completely remove me, that he might live through me, which is Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Messiah. It is no longer I who live, but Messiah lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's why I'm delivering this word to the body of Messiah as he gave it to me. It is a prelude to the great outpouring of the Ruach that we are waiting for. And we need to have our spiritual eyes opened, because the result of that means we're going to become fully aware of our sinful condition, fall on our faces like dead men and women, repent of our sin, and then arise and shine and see the glory of the Lord risen upon us. Hallelujah. Yes, he said, "Suddenly I realized that the Lord was not just coming to judge the earth, but to fill the universe with his glory. For this world will change as the person of Yeshua, HaMashiach, and his millennial reign draws near. The radiance of his presence will increasingly fill the spiritual realms surrounding our world. And not only will the world as we know it begin to experience dramatic change, as the powers of heaven are shaken and toppled by the Lord, but among those whose hearts are open and longing for him, a great transformation is about to occur." Can you say amen? It happens simultaneously. I'm skipping over a few more scriptures because I just have the sense that I'm going to skip over a few here and go to Malachi. I love this scripture. Malachi 4:1-3. "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says Yahweh of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. The day is coming. The day is coming." Oh, praise you, God. And then it says, it goes on, and it says, "But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, in his tzitzit." Amen. "And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts." Notice these two events. I wanted to not skip this scripture because notice, the first slide that I put on speaks about a day coming that's burning, and the wicked are becoming stubble, and the day which is coming burns them up and leaves them neither root nor branch. Now notice, in the same scripture, at the same time, there's a but here, or a however here. To you who fear my name, this is what is in store for you, but it's happening simultaneously. The darkness and the light, and you are in the light, and you are being prepared for the glory. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you.